You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, admission fees could go up at Wisconsin state parks. That's one idea in a DNR report to lawmakers laying out options for increasing funding for Wisconsin's parks. First, the state's obesity rate appears to be higher than previously thought. That's according to new data out this month. The earlier estimate was that the obesity rate among adults in the state was 31%, but new numbers from the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin find that nearly 40% of Wisconsin adults are obese. In addition, the state's obesity rate is about 4.5% higher than the national average. However, if you look at the numbers, Wisconsin appears to be falling behind on the obesity fight. So how did we get here? What's being done to turn things around? Dr. Patrick Remington joins us now. He's a professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, what accounts for this difference? Previous information had us 9% lower than it looks like we really are.
Well, the big reason is that almost all the previous estimates of rates of overweight and obesity have been gotten by telephone surveys. And we know from recent experience that telephone surveys aren't always perfectly accurate. In fact, people on the telephone tend to underreport their weight, and men especially tend to overreport their height. So when you actually do sampling, which is what the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin does, and go into people's homes and do physical exams, and then also improve the response rates, make sure you get everybody in the community to agree to participate in this survey, we find that we pretty significantly underestimated the actual measured percent of obesity in the state.
So about 40% of Wisconsin adults obese. That sounds like a lot. That sounds like a problem.
Well, again, it's higher than we expected, and it is a problem because it's related to considerable health care costs, but also just challenges that people have as they gain weight, everything from arthritis to difficulty moving about, and higher rates of things like sleep apnea and diabetes. So obviously we want to provide as much help to individuals as we can, but the best thing to do is to provide environments all the way from schools to workplaces to communities that let people be active and eat a healthy diet so that we don't have to be looking at such high numbers in the community.
I want to spend some time on that in a bit, but first, last week we saw new national data out showing that increases in our longevity, our lifespan, have stopped. We're starting to level off, maybe move downward on our life expectancy. Is obesity part of that story?
Yeah, without a doubt. We had actually predicted this, looking at the trends in obesity rates, particularly among younger and middle-aged people. And we knew that as people aged into older ages, as chronic illness becomes more common, that they'd be more likely to get things like diabetes and heart disease and some cancers. And eventually that's going to catch up to you. And so for the first time ever, we've seen a decline in life expectancy. Although it's a very small decline, it really doesn't look good for the future because we haven't, as a population, been able to turn the obesity epidemic around. So I think this will be the beginning of a decline in life expectancy, and obesity rates are continuing to climb with more chronic illness.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at obesity numbers in Wisconsin higher than the national average, with better sampling, higher than we previously thought. Dr. Remington, I think when a lot of people think about exercise and health, it's an individual story. Someone's having a problem with their weight. They need to eat better and get more exercise. You were starting to touch on this idea earlier, though, that this is a public health problem. There are things we can do on a society-wide basis that can make a better environment for those things. What are some of the first steps you'd like to see?
Well, one of the things we teach here at the School of Medicine and Public Health is that most health problems are a combination of individual behaviors and individual responsibility, but also the importance of the environment that you live in, the type of school you go to, or the type of job you have, or even the neighborhood you live in. And what we like to do is to try and create environments that make the healthy choice the easier choice, the default choice, so that by providing healthy foods in school cafeterias, you don't have to worry about kids eating unhealthy choices. They you limit their choices of unhealthy foods, or you provide more palatable, healthy options, kids will eat better. And the same is true in a community that has more healthy restaurants, more places to walk. We know that it's hard, especially in 2016, to live a healthy lifestyle. And so we have to create the environments that make it easier to do than it was as easy as it was to do 20 or 30 years ago.
That makes me wonder, are there differences between communities, maybe high income, low income, or urban, rural, things like that? Are we seeing different obesity trends depending on who we're talking about, where they live?
Well, we are. We see obesity rates vary from community to community. A paper that was published in this Wisconsin Medical Journal looked at obesity rates for women just before they become pregnant. And we found out that about 28% of women are obese at the time they begin their pregnancy, but that rate ranges from as high as 45% in some northern rural counties to as low as 14% in some suburbs of Milwaukee. So a tremendous effect just on where you live on the risk of obesity. And we also see the same thing when you measure the health of the restaurant environment, the healthy foods around you, better in more affluent communities, not as good in poor rural communities, and schools, the same thing with the school environment. We see kids have more active days and better diets in more wealthy schools compared to schools in less affluent communities.
So it sounds like targeting the less affluent communities you just mentioned might be a good place to start. What could happen in those communities at schools and outside of schools?
Well, I think it's important to target every community. There isn't a community that can't improve their environment in schools and in the community itself. We know we all would like to eat better and exercise more, but I think it's particularly important to focus on those communities who are really challenged because of having higher rates of unemployment or schools that aren't performing as well. And I do think, as a sort of a fairness issue, that we should be investing more in the places that have greater challenges in providing environments for kids to grow up healthy.
At the local level, who takes the lead in a public health initiative like that?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. And I think that I would have answered that question differently 30 years ago. I would have said, of course, it's the local health department, and maybe statewide it's the state health department. But what we've discovered, particularly with chronic diseases like obesity and diabetes, is that this isn't a problem that can be solved by traditional governmental public health. It really is a community-wide problem that requires community-wide approaches. So it's the schools, it's healthcare systems, it's employers, it's the not-for-profit voluntary community, it's media like Wisconsin Public Radio that can all pitch in to make a difference. I do think governmental public health has an important convening role, but this is not a problem that can be solved by traditional public health methods.
I've seen in some cities around the country of various sizes, they're taking some of their parks or shorelines or things like that and setting up exercise trails where you walk along and there's a chin-up bar or different types of exercise equipment. This is outside stuff. Is that the kind of initiative that could make a fun community approach to the get more active side of the equation?
Well, there's no question that many communities have discovered that if you build it, they will come. Here in Madison, we have a tremendous network of bike paths. Up in Baraboo, they converted the Baraboo River shoreline from one that was prone to flooding and had dams to now it's a walking path. And every community that has invested in changing the environment so that you make the healthy choice, like walking or getting out and running, the easier choice and the safer choice leads to returns down the road. So, again, it's not easy to do. It's not easy to build sidewalks and build bike paths. It takes an investment from a community, and it takes a lot of support from the people in the community. But without a doubt, creating healthier places to exercise and to recreate leads to better health down the road.
It seems like our society is so biased toward the sedentary now. Our jobs are at desks or sitting in a vehicle, maybe. So much of our entertainment is sitting at a stadium in front of a TV, making angry comments on the internet, whatever our pastime is. Is that a lot of inertia we need to overcome to change ourselves, that we are more active?
Well, it's the lack of inertia, I think, that we have become a sedentary society, and that change. We haven't changed our genetics. We really haven't changed our knowledge about the importance of healthy living. What's changed is the environment, and we've moved from an active lifestyle to now, as you point out, sitting at a laptop with a handheld device, and all the automation that's come into our life to make living easier turns out to make it less healthy. And so we have to design differently so that it overcomes this change in technology that really has created worse health, because there are fewer opportunities to exercise. And the other issue is the changing food environment. Food is available everywhere. It tends to be fast, high caloric density. You have to really look around for healthy foods in communities. And unfortunately, when you do find it, it tends to be more expensive. So it is a challenge to be active in every day and also to eat a healthy diet. But so that makes it even more important that we work together on it.
Talking about obesity in Wisconsin, according to new numbers, obesity rates in the state were higher than originally thought. We have Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health with us, looking at the causes and possible cures. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Want to hear what's going on in your community. Is there some kind of effort to get kids, maybe even adults, more active? Is healthy food, a lower calorie food, easily, cheaply available where you live? What would you like to see change? What do you think might turn the tide on the obesity rate here in Wisconsin? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our conversation about higher-than-expected obesity rates in Wisconsin, higher also than the national average, and what could be done about that. Our guest is Dr. Patrick Remington, professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What works and what doesn't in the fight against obesity in Wisconsin? What's going on in your community, maybe at your local schools? Is there some kind of public get out and exercise campaign? Are you in a place where you feel like you can go outside and safely exercise, walk somewhere, bike somewhere? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We talked, Dr. Remington, about what communities can do to encourage getting outside and exercising, more active behavior. How about what communities can do to encourage a healthier eating?
Well, obviously, the first step comes at home. Most food still is consumed at home, so everybody needs to understand what is a healthy diet, that foods aren't necessarily healthier if they're fast. And so processed foods, things where you look at the food label and can't understand all that's in it, is probably less healthy than foods that have a single ingredient. And getting back to really fresh fruits and vegetables, to whole grain breads, to good oils like olive oil and safflower oil instead of lard and animal meat. So it really starts at home. You can learn a lot about this by reading, but also talking to people in your community, also in the healthcare system, about how to eat a healthier diet at home. And then the second place is to think about where we get food in restaurants or outside of home. And we really need to focus on building demand for this type of healthy eating, that simply asking people to close fast food restaurants won't work. This is a place where the market needs to work, where people need to demand healthier foods, and then the market will respond by providing those healthy options.
Let's go to our callers now. Rohini is with us in Brookfield. Rohini, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to talk about?
One of the biggest changes I would like to see, and I'm so glad that this is back in focus, is the presence of communities with parks. We don't live near anywhere where we can walk to a park. And I see, you know, new construction as well, where people, builders build homes, but they do not think of incorporating parks. And I think that would go a long way in building community and also developing, building healthy habits in kids.
Rohini, thank you so much for that call. And Dr. Remington, that gets back to your point. We need to design our way into better health in some ways, and in this case, parks within walking distance for more of us.
Well, it's a great point. We just met this morning with Professor Jim LeGros from Urban and Regional Planning. And right now, we need to invest in the design of communities thinking about the future. Unfortunately, some of these communities were designed at a time when we thought the automobile would be the best invention ever. And it turns out by eliminating sidewalks and by having dense urban development without walkable places has been bad for health. And so redesigning existing spaces by promoting safe, walkable communities is one approach, but also thinking about investing in the future. And when you go to shop for a home, you can actually, or go to buy a home, you can actually look at the walkability index. It's on nearly every website. And pick a place to live where it has a good walkability index, where you can get to work or shopping or grocery stores by walking right out your front door, as opposed to having to hop in a car and not only pollute the environment, but get less exercise in the process.
Rohini, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Eric in West Bend. Eric, hi.
Hi.
What do you think about this, Eric?
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, the key has really been the diet. And we switched to, my wife and I, my family, really a plant-based diet about 3 years ago. And it really transformed our lives. I lost probably 30 pounds within 6 months without exercising. So I really think the key is diet. It needs to be a plant-based, a whole food, you know, natural diet. You have to avoid the processed foods, especially the sodas and the sugary drinks. And once your diet is healthy, you know, the weight falls off, and then all of a sudden you have so much energy, you want to exercise, you know. And so to me, diet is really the key, and avoiding the processed, you know, chemical-laden foods.
Eric, thanks a lot for the call. So a more plant-based diet, he's saying, Dr. Remington, and presumably a non-deep batter-fried vegetable plant-based diet would make a big difference for a lot of us.
There's no question that a plant-based diet is not only healthier for keeping the pounds off, but for overall health. But I think he also makes the point that everybody finds a different way to stay healthy or to lose weight. And for some people, exercise may be exactly what is needed to keep a healthy weight. For other people, dietary changes. I think it makes sense to look at, if you, individually, if you've gained a pound a year or a few pounds a year, is to look at it at as a long-term process, as a way to make small changes in your diet, exercise just a bit more, and then take the long view that if it took 10 years to gain unwanted pounds, it might take that many years for the pounds to go away. But I would say that it's a combination of a healthy diet, certainly plant-based diet is one, and also adding exercise. Just a little bit more exercise in your day can go a long way.
Thanks a lot for the call, Luke. We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about high obesity numbers in Wisconsin. Back to our callers now with Luke in Cross Plains. Luke, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to, you know, say that the ideas that the doctor's putting forward with, you know, how communities can create better access to healthier foods and to exercising, and the idea that, you know, you could choose areas that have walkability, you know, these are solutions that really only apply to maybe 20% of the population, and particularly the areas of the population that are suffering from obesity less. You know, the less affluent communities are the ones that need greater, you know, access to healthier foods, but they just don't have the income to be able to do so, and they're working longer hours, so they don't have the time to be able to put aside time for exercising, or, you know, they rely on fast food because they don't have the time to cook healthy meals. I think that we need to be looking for more comprehensive solutions for these communities, such as, you know, raising income so that they actually have the ability to work less and to purchase healthier foods.
Luke, thanks a lot for the call. So less affluent communities don't have the money for the individual or maybe the community-wide solutions, Dr. Remington.
Well, it's a great point, and I couldn't agree more that solutions begin what we call upstream in social and economic factors, that it is harder to live a healthy lifestyle when you can't afford the healthier food options or you can't afford to live in a safe or healthy community. There are ways, though, to eat healthy on a budget, and those recommendations can be found on the internet. And there are, I think, nearly every community in the state, including Cross Plains, which I think is debating a bicycle park or a way to open up Black Earth Creek as a safe and inviting place to walk. I think every community can look within and ask what they can do to make this a healthier place for exercising, for getting out and connecting with your neighbors, and then also look for ways to support people who are in greater need, to think about people who might struggle to find the resources to eat a healthy diet and see if you can solve those problems locally.
Thanks a lot for the call, Dr. Remington. Very briefly, as we wrap up, it seems like we know all the things we need to do. What does it take to make this a reality?
I think two things. One is we heard from a caller who made an individual change that led to a good outcome. And so everybody who's considering this can make small changes and see better outcomes individually. But the other thing is we have to make changes in our communities, in our schools, and that can't be done alone. Teachers are overworked enough and have a hard enough time teaching our kids without having to worry about the school cafeteria and exercise opportunities. So I think come together as a community and try and find those places where you can agree to make communities healthier to live and work and recreate.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. I've been talking about obesity in Wisconsin. Still time to share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.